Hey, welcome to the Bring Back the Poetry podcast. This is your buddy, Jason Tomlinson. Thank you so much for joining me. Continuing part two with our marriage series here in the month of June, I'm so glad that you have joined me because this past Wednesday was my wife and I's 15th wedding anniversary, and we had a very good time that day. Thank you to the parent that gave us a gift card to Texas Roadhouse, and we got to have a wonderful dinner there. And thank you to the parent that gave us a gift card to Starbucks where we had dessert. It was awesome. Very good time for my wife and I. Kind of hard to believe that it's been 15 years, but not that hard to believe. Moving on and continuing with this marriage theme, I am pleased to tell you that this week's feature is on Kim and Darren Frank. I don't know why I keep saying Kim's name first. Darren and Kim Frank. I know on wedding invitations, you always say the woman's name first. Anyways, the Franks are friends of mine right here in Hendersonville. They go to church with us, and we're not super tight, but every time I see them, I always make a point of speaking to them both, especially Darren. And I've known them now for about 7 or 8 years. They have two children, one in high school and one in elementary school. And they are a delightful family. A few weeks ago, and you'll hear this in the interview, Darren got my attention with something that he said in class. And that is why I wanted to feature them on my marriage series this month. They have been married almost 20 years. I couldn't have arranged this better. Last week, of course, we had Tom and Sandy Kintop, and they're coming up on 50 years of marriage. Dial it up 30 years, and Darren and Kim Frank have almost been married 20 years. And really, really thankful for their influence and for their contributions. The poem I've written for the Franks is called Casually Intentional, a tribute to Darren and Kim Frank. They were just hanging out. It was just conversation. No pressure, no plan, just old-fashioned communication would yield results neither one could have predicted, but certainly benefited from the good that went with it. Looking back, they can see exactly what they were making, a foundation able to withstand the sort of shaking found in relationships everywhere. Their story was better because their care was casually intentional, with good habits every day. And the payoff has been much more than I can say, but I will say I'm inspired, observing what I see. The two of them model such humility to me, such grace, such patience, such attention to relating to each other, not another, on each other they're waiting, to proceed, she for him and certainly him for her. Going to the next thing, together will occur, and it is beautiful, such an example. They model it well, and their blessing is ample. 20 years. It's amazing. So happy they're well. So thankful they have such a story to tell. And if you would like to hear that story, I strongly encourage you to stick around for a minute, because here it is. It is such an honor to be with Kim and Darren Frank. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing great, thank you.
Do not get quiet voice. Remember, don't get quiet voice. We need big voice. Let me hear your big voice.
Okay.
Yes. See? Did you see? Look at that right there. That was. That. Can you match that, Kim?
Probably not. Hey. I don't have a big voice.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm going to slide it this way just a smidge. You guys are coming up on 20 years of marriage. I don't want to jinx it or anything, but congratulations in December. Their anniversary is on my birthday. That's so awesome. So yeah, so I won't forget that at all. So you're at just over 19 and a half years. The half mark was in earlier this month, around June 2nd.
That's it.
Yep. You guys got my attention a few weeks ago, Darren, when you said in Sunday school something to the effect of neither one of you guys go to bed alone. If somebody has to stay up late at night working, then you're both up late. That meant a lot to me. That got my attention, and so that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about marriage and relationships, specifically yours. Catch us up to speed. You guys, a lot of people know your story because you're from Hendersonville. You grew up right here, and but catch the rest of us up to speed. You guys met back in high school?
We did.
And were you dating back then?
We were off and on.
Okay, okay. And then you went to college, two totally different places. But something happened the semester that Darren was overseas. And tell me about that.
I was studying abroad in England. And this is our sophomore year in college. And Kim and I had kind of made it a regular habit to hang out just as friends. That's what we told everybody over the summers and the school breaks. But the fall of my sophomore year, I studied abroad in England, and Kim and I wanted to stay in touch. And so we did something strange. We took these writing utensils and we took pieces of paper and we actually put words on them and folded them up and put them in an envelope and wrote an address and put a stamp on it and sent it all the way overseas, and it's called mail. And we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have email, we did the old-fashioned mail. And Kim got the idea, which was really cool. She would take a cassette tape and record some of her favorite songs and periodically talk to me and send the tape over so I could listen to it, and then I'd do the same thing back and forth. So that's how we communicated for an entire semester.
Awesome. Do you guys remember any of the songs you would have used back then? Just to put you on the spot there.
There was one by the Connells called Stone Cold Yesterday, which kind of got me hooked on the Connells.
Okay.
Yes, that was my favorite band.
Awesome.
Modern English, I'll Melt With You.
Nice.
That was the time period.
Nice.
And you had the Lightning Seeds.
I did.
What was that song?
Pure. So nice. It was just some local stuff that was probably not mainstream radio, but she was listening to it, and it's kind of cool. Kind of kept us connected that way.
I like that. I like that.
We were still just friends, though.
Just friends.
Absolutely.
Just friends. Writing across the Atlantic Ocean, making cassette tapes, but just friends.
Yes.
So when you guys came back, did things develop a little bit more intensely because of the long-term communication, or the long-distance communication?
I would say it developed off and on again.
Okay.
That was the theme.
All right. So just more just kind of back and forth volley?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fill us in on what happened when, Kim, you came back to town and he wasn't here and it was weird.
Well, we had at one point kind of given things a pretty good shot, and then over a summer when we were both at home, and then when we headed our separate ways to go back to our respective schools, just not so much anymore.
Yeah.
And when it kind of fell apart that time, we were both pretty done.
Yeah.
And so that was the first time, for the first time in since we were seniors in high school, we just didn't really talk anymore. We didn't have, you know, like a regular communication with each other. So I was planning to stay at school that summer so that I could finish up, graduate in time, had come home for like a week at the very beginning, and Darren wasn't there. And it was just really, really weird.
Yeah.
I just missed him. So I swallowed my massive pride and I gave him a call, left a message, and put the ball in his court. And he picked it up.
So on your end, Darren, this message appears on the answering machine in your dorm room.
Yes.
Then what?
My best buddy at that time basically said, "Hey, it's if you don't call her back, you'll never know. It's over." So I swallowed my pride and tried to be cool and call her back like nothing had ever happened. And long story short, we were kind of arranged to spend a little time together. And when she showed up, it was pretty much locked and done. And yeah. Here we are.
Yeah. Now, there's some interesting geography here. Who was making the road trip?
I offered to...
You were in Knoxville.
I was in Knoxville, yeah. And she was in Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And my buddy and I were big soccer fans, and that was 1994, and the United States was hosting the World Cup.
In Chicago.
In various places, but we had tickets to games in Chicago.
Okay.
And I just thought it was pretty noble of me to say, hey, on our way to Chicago, we'll just swing through Oxford. So as if
right on the way.
Knoxville to Chicago wasn't, you know, out of distance enough, we just decided to tack on about 6 or 8 extra hours, crash on a floor just to say hey and spend some time. And but yeah, we kind of closed that geographical gap pretty quickly.
That's good. So after that, you guys were serious. Was there more letter writing from Oxford to Knoxville, or is it just more phone calls?
There were lots of phone calls. I can remember sitting on the kitchen floor because that was how far the cord on the phone would reach. You know, we had cords still back then. And using those calling cards.
Yes.
We would do the prepaid calling cards, so we had plenty of minutes to talk to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And then it wasn't unheard of. By my senior year in college, I was able to pretty much align all my classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I was working as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But I had kind of belly flopped into this, so my social life in Knoxville kind of stopped. So it wasn't unheard of for Friday around noon for me to drive from Knoxville all the way to Oxford.
Nice.
Just for the weekend.
Well, how many hours is that?
That's at least 6, if not 6.5.
Okay.
And she has some family in Memphis. Sometimes we would kind of meet in Memphis at a local place, but still, Knoxville to Memphis is no small feat just for the weekend. But that's when we had kind of we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and then by that Thanksgiving, we were engaged.
Engaged, and then you guys got married
December.
The following December. December 2nd. Woo!
What a day.
Yes. I turned 18 the day they got married. Now, 20 years later, can you even fathom how fast it has gone?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
We've realized the other day that we've been together more of our lives than we have
been not. Yeah.
And so that kind of, so much has changed. We've changed. You know, we can't imagine certain things we did. And our grocery bill, we were comparing our grocery bills from the first time we were married. You know, we could eat for $50 a week.
$40. When we first got married, we took a calculator to the grocery store because we were that poor.
Yes.
We had $40 a week to spend at the grocery store, and if we started getting close to it, something had to go back.
Nice.
And now it's not that. But so it's both.
Yeah.
You can look back and think, oh my gosh, where did we... But then at the same time, we've just been together so much.
Yeah, that's great. What would you say is a strong point to y'all's marriage? It really feels like, just sitting here in your house, at your kitchen table, that there's a lot of stability here, a lot of stability. And I don't think I'm making that up in my head. They just exchanged the cutest glance. I wish you could have seen it. What are some strong points of your marriage that our listeners can say, wow, yes, that's what I want too? I mean, I don't know if you guys sit around and go, hey, honey, what are the strong points of our marriage?
Can't say that we do.
Yeah.
I would say that, but for both of us, communicating is something that's kind of ingrained into both of us.
Yeah.
So having conversations early on. I mean, I think that's why we hit it off so well in high school, is because we could just hang out and we could talk. We didn't have to be doing something.
Yeah.
We didn't have to fit some sort of, this is what dating looks like.
Yeah.
We could just, we were fine just to kind of hang out.
Yeah.
And throughout our marriage, we've had some of our best conversations on the bathroom floor or in the kitchen floor. I was about to say
that. Nice. And everybody knows that about us, and kind of that knows us pretty well. That's where we have our most important discussions, I'd say, have all happened probably on the bathroom floor.
The bathroom or the kitchen floor. Nice.
Just because somebody was.
Like, I'll be washing my face or brushing my teeth.
Sat down and talked or something.
And the next thing you know, I'll just plunk down on the floor and then we just stay.
We made a huge decision early in our marriage to move.
Yeah.
Back from East Tennessee to the Nashville area.
Okay.
For family reasons. And that conversation took place about midnight in the kitchen floor of our apartment, just because she had gotten off work. And we both just kind of said, hey, let me talk to you about something. So we work at communication.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll give each other the silent treatment, but for the most part, it comes natural. So that's...
That's really good.
We're kind of fortunate for that.
That's really good. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Conversely, what are some things you have to work at a little bit?
I would say that giant pride that I mm-hmm. spoke of earlier.
That you mean that doesn't go away?
It no. doesn't go away. And I think swallowing it on a regular basis. But, you know, it's key. You can't have it.
Yeah, yeah. No place for it. Wow.
I would agree.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you would call it a rule. Maybe it's more like a policy that you have. Where did this whole, definitely at least practice, come from about not going to bed before the other? If somebody is staying up, you're both staying up.
Where did that come from? I think it came from you.
As newlyweds,
yeah.
You want to spend every waking moment together.
Yeah.
When we got married, I was in the middle of my year of teaching, and she, first year of teaching, and Kim worked in retail.
Okay.
And so there were 9-to-5 shifts, but there were also a lot of 2-to-10 p.m. shifts.
Yeah.
And when you're young and married and you're in an apartment and you don't really have you're not surrounded by a lot of people, just go hang out with. And like I mentioned earlier, it was a conscious decision to kind of put aside some of the guys that I was hanging out with when they were going out late on weekend nights and things like that. When you're married, you don't typically right. do that.
Yeah.
So I just would wait up for her to get home.
Yeah.
I couldn't go to bed or do a whole lot. So I'd just kind of wait up, watch TV or something. When she would get home, we would talk and then go to bed together. And it was just one of those things. I think we just kind of did that because we wanted to. That's just kind of something we wanted to do. And to me, there wasn't anything to do if I stayed up later past when she went to go to bed or and vice versa, you know? So it was just, I'm not sure we really made the conscious decision, but it worked, and that's something that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you know, after doing that for a while, it becomes did who kind you of are. Become.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
really, that's awesome. A good healthy habit, and it was there and it's still here.
It's not always easy, but we still do it.
Sure.
Sometimes that means that one of us is doing something on the couch and the other is curled up asleep on the couch beside the person. But then when it's time to go to bed, we get up and go together.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. I don't think I'm making this up. You guys have a really strong life group, am I right?
We do.
Okay. And I think I know a lot of the people that you share life with in your life group. What role has church and maybe specifically your life group played in the success of your marriage?
I think for both of us, I mean, we both grew up in the church.
Yeah.
Very different backgrounds. I was Church Christ, he was Lutheran. But we both had very, very strong Christian backgrounds.
Right.
And when we got married, the two of those, if you know very much about Church Christ and Lutheran, don't really...
Not a lot of common ground.
It was very important to us that we not go to Darren's church and not go to Kim's church. We wanted to go to Darren and Kim's church.
Yeah.
And we made that pretty clear to both of our families that we were going to find our place on our own.
Yeah.
And if you name the denomination, we tried it. We tried them all. And then after a whole lot of searching and quite a few years at another church, we landed at Community, and it felt like home from day one.
That's us.
Our life group is wonderful, but more so than them, I think it's
the whole
God. It's the God. Whole yeah. thing and each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that our life group's been instrumental in our family because kids have grown up and kind of there have been some relationships, and over time you just grow close to people. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can honestly say that it's had an overarching impact.
Okay.
But it's been important to us. We make time for it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
I'll say something that's on our hearts right now.
Okay.
And that is, we're very blessed and very fortunate to have had infinitely great times for the 20 plus years we've been together. We know that there are other couples and other marriages that have lower times and struggle and have times where things aren't so good. By no means are we experts, and we make a lot of mistakes, and we're going to continue to make mistakes, but we just don't want anybody to quit.
Yeah.
If God brought you together, there's a reason. Just don't quit on it.
Yeah.
There are too many people that we know that the easy way out is just to say, I'm done. I'm going to go try to find it someplace else. And it just breaks our hearts.
Yeah. 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 We got, amen. Anything else?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't, it's not always rosy and perfect.
Yeah.
We've been through tough times, but I think the biggest thing is just leaning on each other.
Yeah.
Instead of outside.
Yeah.
One another.
Yeah.
And I would say that pretty much through every tough spot we've gone through, we've dealt with it head on together.
Yeah.
Rather than with this person or with that person, or it's been us.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
And
so.
That communication. I mean, there have been times where and this has been from day one, where I have literally just pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled until I got it out of him. But, and I'm sure there have been times when he's had to do the same with me. But
it's because our pride. I didn't want to look vulnerable. I didn't want to look weak. I didn't want to look like I had it all figured out. But, eventually, that's what it takes.
It's good.
And just being honest.
Yeah.
Honest when things aren't the way you want them to be. And honest when they are.
Yeah.
Being appreciative of each other. And.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I've been doing with every couple that I speak with is to pray. What can we pray for you guys in your marriage?
That we keep it focused on the right things. That we don't let our busyness and we don't let our schedules and we don't let things consume us, where we are managing stuff instead of being together and focused on God and trying to keep that at the center of everything we do. And by no means do we have that down. That is very much imperfect, but we will always take prayer for that.
Mm-hmm. Same for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Well, you heard him, folks. Thank you so much to Darren and Kim Frank for sharing yourselves, sharing your story, sharing your time, and inspiring me. And I believe inspiring others as well. Leah has, my wife, has already got to listen to this interview, and she was inspired also. Wherever you are, kitchen, car, office, bedroom, table, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for Darren and Kim Frank. Thank you so much for the good that they do in this community, Father. It's a lot. I know that it is, Father. Thank you so much for their family. God, thank you so much for them. I ask just what they said for their marriage, Father, that they keep it focused on the right things, that the busyness doesn't get in the way, that it's not too busy. Father, I pray that their marriage is focused on you. Father, thank you so much for these, for their relationship of more than 20 years, Father. Thank you so much for their children, Father. Please protect their family. Please protect them as parents. And please protect their children in this world, Father. And God, thank you so much for providing us with examples like the Franks, Father. Help us to learn from them, Father, from their excellent communication skills, Father. And God, help us to be real and honest with each other. Help us all to swallow our pride, Father. Thank you so much for your servants, Darren and Kim, Father. It's in Jesus' name, amen. This is really cool. This is really cool. I feel like God is blessing me these last two episodes by showing me husbands and wives that are imperfect and doing a great job. Last week, we got some great tools. I love that Tom and Sandy pray together every day, and I love that Darren and Kim have this great communication, that they honor each other by going to bed together, Father. I'm still praying that they honor each other by going to bed together. And I look forward to who is going to be on the show next week. It's going to be one of two couples, so I don't want to spoil it. I'm not sure exactly which couple I'm going to be talking to this week. Listen, on a technical note, as you can see, I've scaled the podcast episodes back to once a week. There was a time there, a short time, that I was doing it every day. Woo! Boy, that's work. If you would like to see them more than once a week, let me know, won't you? Other than that, I will see you soon. Thanks a lot.